It's the Truepenny Show with your host, James Truepenny.
Hello and welcome to the Truepenny Show. My name is James Truepenny. This is my show. And today, we're taking a break from the norm. We're going on a holiday, if you will. A winter holiday. A winterval holiday to celebrate wrestling through the years. At holiday time, at Christmas and at New Year's. And we have two cards to look at today for those two holiday dates that are kind of traditional in professional wrestling in two different places and times. And to join me to discuss these two momentous occasions is Christy from Wrestling Sexism. How are you, Mom?
Hi. I'm a bit sick, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, it was kind of strange to watch this card that we're about to talk about while I was sick.
Yes, problems that you think you might be delusional.
Yes, exactly. Losing my mind.
Yes. In fact, I managed to pick two cards that are so polar opposite that essentially, because of time constraints, Christy looked at one and I looked at the other so we could compare and contrast the two. And I've picked two cards that are ridiculously different.
I would have died if I'd have to do the other one as well.
But we'll explain what they are in a second. But before we go any further, I should like to congratulate Christy for being nominated in this year's Wrestling Twitter Awards for Best SJW Account.
Yeah, social justice warrior. Yeah. Thank you, I think.
Yes, and also we should also celebrate Kat's double nomination because she was nominated in Most Wholesome, I think, or Least Problematic Account, which I go with. There are no problems with Kat. She's fine.
She's perfect.
Yes, perfect.
Exactly.
See what we did there? And she's awesome. I can't remember what the other one is, but she is really cool. So congrats to Kat as well from Mike Freeland's Wrestling Rewind. And hopefully she's on the... I'm hoping that both of you win your categories. You can find the links in the Truepenny Show Twitter page. And if you go vote, then we can have you on a show together and you can gloat.
I think the results are supposed to be in by the 31st. So yeah. I'm not sure this is going to be up by then.
Oh, no, but we can do that in a couple of weeks' time. At the Wrestle Kingdom show, there'll be moments for Christy and Kat to gloat on the respective
shows. I'm sure I'm winning. Everyone loves me. I never get into fights with people.
No, never at all. No one ever blocks you.
No. Hi, ref bro.
Oh, some people didn't get a bit too seriously this week. It's just supposed to be a bit of fun. Calm down. Anywho, yes, I've speaking of other things this week, I've made friends with Sean Ross from Fightful.
Oh my God, that was
Bless
horrible.
Him. Oh, look at him.
Not so much you becoming friends with him, but no. The whole discussion surrounding that.
Yeah.
It's every couple of weeks we get into the same discussion.
Closer and closer. That was also one of the worst things on Twitter, the ever never ending conversation about New Japan and women.
Oh my God.
But yes, but Sean did point out, I don't really know what I'm talking about, please help, what should we do? And people offered his opinions, and some of them were close to death threats, because a couple of people, a couple of people at Fightful, some of the journalists that work at Fightful, were threatened. Some people rang up and threatened them, and that's not cool. Just because you disagree with someone, and I disagreed with those people, but they are good people who talk to me all the time. And they were saying that they got threatening phone calls and threatening tweets, and it's a bit ridiculous.
Phone calls, really?
Because they're wrestling journalists, so they have open lines, you know.
Yeah, but I'm just imagining someone actually phoning them up.
Yes.
With threats, like at least email them.
Yes. If you've got a problem with someone, discuss it. Sean had this idea. It wasn't a particularly good idea, and several people explained why it wasn't very good. He, to his credit, went out, listened to these people, and now has promised to cover Joshi more deeply on Fightful.com. Which is the way this is supposed to work, right?
I hope so.
Yeah, you know.
I'm crossing my fingers.
Yes, you know. He's not very experienced in Japanese wrestling, so he's hired a bunch of people that would do the job, which is what we're supposed to do, okay? So, yes. And there are other people who want to cover Joshi more deeply as well. I know this because they talk to me. So, yes, don't get into arguments on Twitter that are silly. And threaten people is our New Year's resolution at the Truepenny Show. Not that we ever did that before, any of us. We're in trying to encourage other people to be nice to each other. Uh-huh. Yes, but Sean, lovely chap. Still arguing with Bix. Don't get that, but there you go. Every time this conversation comes up, David Bixenspan ends up in my mentions. Anywho, moving on. Oh, in fact, moving backwards. We have two
moving
cars.
Moving backwards in time, yes.
We have two cars to look at. I'm looking at world-class championship wrestling, Star Wars, from Reunion in 1995, Reunion Arena in Dallas, Texas in 1985. And Christy, you are looking at the DDT, Kaientai Dojo, Big Japan Wrestling, 108 character Battle Royal from 2009, which is fairly intense.
2009 and 2010.
Yes, let's happens during the match. Yes. So, well, let's start with the Dallas one. Obviously, there's that one early. It was earlier. The reason why I wanted to do this show was, traditionally, Christmas in Dallas was a big show. And the Reunion Arena, there was basically two arenas that World Class Championship Wrestling ran in Dallas. There was the Sportatorium, where they did the TV tapings on Saturday mornings, the famous Sportatorium, hotter than hell in summer, colder than Antarctica in winter, rat-infested arena that was described by several people down the years. They did TV tapings on a Saturday morning there, but their big shows were at Reunion Arena. And this particular show in 1985 had 7,840. Now, to put that in context, that's kind of average for a big pay-per-view show for New Japan Pro Wrestling. That's how big this was for a local promotion that didn't promote outside of Texas, North Texas even. They weren't even doing the whole of Texas. They were just doing North Texas, which is pretty impressive, isn't it?
Yes. I don't know. I know nothing about this time period at all.
Well, you might recognize some of these names. Now, this card is available on YouTube. That's where we got it from. Probably not that legally, because I'm pretty sure WWE own all the rights. But anywho, now this is an edited card, and the full card is absolutely amazing. I mean, seriously, you will not believe who is on this card. But they edited some of these big matches out. So the card actually starts with Johnny Mantell. He defeated Tony Montana in an opening match. But the first one on the show is Brian Diaz and Iceman King Parsons versus The Grappler and The Great Kabuki. Positively speaking, only one of these people in this match is dead.
Oh, God.
Yes, because, you know, you get this with World Class Championship Wrestling. As I'm watching, they're going, this match is brilliant. I love this. It's old-fashioned entertainment. And I go, he's dead. He's dead. He's also dead. And he's dead. So, yes, Iceman King Parsons passed away recently in the last couple of years. Everyone else, as far as I know, is still alive. The Grappler, in fact, books for West Coast Wrestling Connection, which you can find on the internet, and is one of the few nationally televised wrestling shows. He's very good. I'm trying to think of the original Grappler. He might be Len Denton. In each case, he's very much alive and training guys who've gone on to WWE careers and used to be the head of Heartland Wrestling, which was a WWE territorial territory. The Great Kabuki, you may remember as the inspiration for Kyoji the Great Muta. And also, he was in turn the inspiration for the Great Sanada in Impact Wrestling, which led
him. I know
who you might know. You know, yeah, he led to Sanada, just good old fashioned Sanada that we now know and love, and are very thankful has managed to find a job with a company who knows what they're doing.
He needs to shave his beard, though.
See, that has been the conversation this week. I would like to point out our Megumi Kudo. Best hair in wrestling 2018 was won by Hiromu Takahashi, though Alex Watt is upset. That Sanada's...
No, Tanahashi won, right?
Yeah, Tanahashi won, yes.
Okay, yes. Hiroshi.
Tanahashi. Hiroshi Tanahashi, I'm sorry. I'm going 10 to the dozen. We're a bit all over the place today. Hiroshi Tanahashi won that, but Alex Watt is upset that Sanada's beard did not get more kudos.
No. He was upset that Sanada didn't win.
Yes.
He ended up in last place, I think.
Yes.
And then I replied, it's because his beard is also hair, so people didn't appreciate it.
Too much beard. Do you have a problem with beards generally?
No. Okay. I have a problem with his beard, because it's awful.
Why is it awful?
For one, he's bleached it.
Okay.
Which is just horrible. it doesn't look good. It's horrible for your skin. Just don't do it. And he never cuts it or shapes it or does anything to make it look better. It's just, it's a wretched mess. It's not nice to look at.
Okay, then.
And he's just so handsome that it's a shame. It's like, he wanted to know what it's like to be ugly. And so he keeps doing this to himself in the hopes that people will think he's ugly so he can experience it.
To quote a line from The West Wing, it just sits there like a gym sock on a shower rod.
It's horrible.
Okay, then.
Or maybe he's just testing our loyalty or something. Like, do you really love me? Then you'll love me through this phase as well.
Fair enough, then. Okay. We'll get back to this match, though. Now, the grappler was the Texas heavyweight champion at the time, and he'd just beaten Iceman King Parsons who'd just beaten Brian Diaz for the championship. Iceman King Parsons was the next contender, theoretically, and the Great Kabuki was, you know, the Great Kabuki. He kicked people and throws missed. Didn't throw much miss in this one. In fact, he probably would have done better if he had done. But it was a perfectly good and entertaining match. And the first thing that strikes me as for watching this match is all of them are over 6 foot tall and 240 pounds. It's like, where did they find these people? Because, like, you know, they're the smallest guys on the card and they're 6 foot two and 240 pounds. Like, on a whole card of people. They only get bigger after this. So where did they find these people? Because that doesn't happen now, does it?
No.
You know.
Now we're really shocked when someone's taller than 6 foot.
Yeah.
Feet? I don't know.
Yeah, like Jeff Cobb would be considered incredibly short for this time period. You know, but he's 300 pounds, but he's 5 foot nine. Whereas back then, he wouldn't have got a job because he wasn't tall enough. Mm. It's just bizarre. But the match
he looks taller, though, on TV.
Yeah.
Unless he's standing next to someone.
Yeah, yeah, true. But this match was actually quite fun, and it did everything you expected it to do. Diaz and King Parsons were on top for most of the match. The Great Kabuki carried most of the match for the heel team, and the grappler gets pinned by Diaz, so he gets a championship shot back. And it's just basic 101 match booking that you don't see nowadays. You don't get none of this nowadays. The next match on the show was Tatsumi Fujinami. Yes, that Tatsumi Fujinami, who defeated Masked Demon in 7 minutes and 15 seconds, which wasn't on the actual tape. More's the pity. I just want to see Tatsumi Fujinami in front of an audience in Dallas, because that would be amazing.
I was going to ask you, is it really a demon? But
I'm presuming it might well have been somebody else who we will see elsewhere on this card under a mask, because that happens a lot in this particular...
Yeah, it happened in my show as well.
It's a bit of a theme we're looking at here.
Yes.
And he's also the worst example of putting people under masks ever I've ever seen. Right? Anyway, Lance Von Erich was the fake Von Erich brother. After the death of David Von Erich and I'm pretty sure Chris had died by this point as well, there was a need, Fritz believed, for another Von Erich. So Lance came in as the son of Waldo Von Erich. He was a handsome, good-looking young man, but he wasn't a Von Erich, and he didn't have the charisma level of the Von Erichs. Having said that, the amount of girls in the audience didn't seem to care. Because you've got to bear in mind, Dallas in 1985 was like going to a One Direction concert a couple of years ago. It was just
One Direction.
It was honestly, it's wall-to-wall girls screaming constantly throughout the entire card. When anyone says the words Von Erich, it is insane. You know.
Imagine being that popular.
Yeah, it's like as soon as someone says, and care, just like put the first syllable of a Von Erich's name out there. It's just like, ah! It's like the Beatles. It's madness. And it is, and I'll explain a bit more when we get further into the card, but it's just like, well, Lance is a good example. He's wrestling Rick Rude, ravishing Rick Rude, who was still a bit green, but already far better than the people around him. And, this girl starts screaming before the guy announces because they know the show's on the card and the guy's on the card. He gets down to ringside and there's like literally, I'm not kidding, about 200 girls stood at his corner waiting for him to sign pictures.
It's so cool though.
It is. You know, you don't get that anymore. You really don't get that anymore. These people believed.
I thought that girls didn't like wrestling.
No, of course they don't.
Didn't watch it.
Don't watch wrestling at all, ever.
Well, only for the hot guys, so that makes sense.
Yes, well, only for the hot guys, but, you know, look at the Von Erichs in 1985, they were really good-looking young men, let's be honest. But
not all wrestlers, but a lot of wrestlers are.
Yes.
It's basically part of the whole thing, which is why I'm always so surprised when guys are all offended that women think some of these guys are attractive.
Yes, and it's like, Well, of course they do, because they're incredibly fit athletes that spend the most of their time in their pants.
Yeah, and they take really pretty pictures of them and post them online. And
they have healthy body consciousness and egos that allowed them to do this kind of thing.
Wrestling is weird. Some wrestling fans are weird.
Yes, I mean, somebody else pointed out on Twitter that, you know, you obviously can take these things too far, but it's perfectly nothing wrong with saying that dude's attractive, you know.
Yeah,
because he is, and the Von Erichs were very attractive young men. But anywho, and you know, look at the wrestling. Rick Rude is not unattractive. His whole gimmick is, you know, he's a Lothario. He will steal your girl and kick sand in your face.
Exactly, being handsome.
Yes, being handsome. And he was managed by Percival Pringle III. Do you know who Percival Pringle III was?
No. I'm sorry, I know like 95% of these people I don't know.
That's okay.
I know their names, and I know I'm supposed to respect them. And that's about it.
I'm trying to bring you into the conversation. But he was Paul Bearer, the Undertaker.
Oh, manager. Yeah. Percival Pringle.
Yes, he was doing kind of like what Paul Bearer did, but without the grimness. It was much more. He was kind of like a rich, spoilt brat kind of guy who was managing these big superstars. It was very, you know, how can I put this? Overweight, less than handsome person manages handsome person to live his life vicariously through that.
Yeah, an ex very extra.
Yes, indeed. And then after that, we have the Fabulous Freebirds, Buddy Roberts and Terry Gordy, resplendent in their All Japan Pro Wrestling ring jackets. And they were wrestling Dave Peason and Mark Youngblood. Now, Mark Youngblood was former NWA World Tag Team Champion with Ricky Steamboat. No, Mark was the brother of Jay Youngblood, a former NWA World Tag Team Champion, was regular Dallas native regular, and Dave Peterson was a pretty cool, good-looking young chap, but they were jobbing. You know, it was 7 minutes of fun, but Gordy and Roberts looked amazing in this, and they clearly just come straight back off an All Japan tour. And in 5 years' time, we're talking about Terry Gordy being the biggest gaijin drawer in Japan. But it was what it was. It was a squash match, and it worked really, really well. The next match after that was The Missing Link, who has defeated Jack Victory, who would go on to more fame in WCW as one of the, not the sheep herders, the New Zealand militia, that was it, despite the fact he was from New Jersey. And would be also in ECW as well. And The Missing Link, who was one of those savage characters that you get in the 1980s. You know when people go about, in my day, it was serious wrestling. Well, The Missing Link was a guy who may have been a Neanderthal, who had a curious upbringing where he was sent from home to home and never learned to speak English properly, despite clearly being an American, and having it enough together to buy proper wrestling boots and elbow pads.
Yeah, this is the only match I watched.
What did you think of it?
Well,
of all the ones you could pick, you picked this one.
This was the first one.
Oh, well, I suppose so, yeah. What did you think of it?
It was special.
Yes.
I mean, just the very beginning. You've got this guy called Jack Victory, who's supposed to be this Adonis.
Yes.
That everyone likes. And then he's facing a guy called The Missing Link. And do you want to guess which of the two got most of the cheers?
It was The Missing Link.
Yes, from the women as well.
Yes, despite the fact he's covered in face paint, literally has a spike shaved into the middle of his forehead.
He's drooling.
But
facing some handsome dude whose entire gimmick is being handsome.
Yes.
And he's the favorite one. And he's in some sort of romantic plot.
Yes, with Sunshine.
One of the women.
Yes. It's really insane, isn't it?
it's kind of weird, yeah. And yeah, he's also involved with Rick Rude and the Paul Bearer dude.
Yeah,
whose name I forgot.
Percival Pringle III, because yes. Percival Pringle was his former manager who mistreated him badly.
Yes, exactly. And yeah. I watched this and I was done and I was like, I'm if this is the rest of the card, then I'm not going to make it because I am so confused.
And I've turned your brain to mush with 108 man battle royals.
That was tough enough. Okay. Can I just say 108 people?
Yeah. I don't know, 108 characters.
Yeah.
Not people. 108 people.
Yeah. not people, true. It's how many people would it have been? Like 85?
Something like that. But like one of the guys in that battle royal is like his character in BJW, his character in DDT, and his character in Kai and Tai Dojo.
Honda had like four characters on his own.
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane, that battle royal. But anyway, we'll get back to this. So yes, so that's kind of like laid out what Dallas was doing in 1985. They left the NWA and quite clearly gone a bit crazy, go nuts. But when you make a guy like the Missing Link a top babyface, you can tell how well they're doing, really, can't you?
Yeah, it was special.
Oh, yeah. And then the next matchup was the Cosmic Cowboys defeating the Dynamic Dudes by disqualification for the NWA American Tag Team titles. Now, Chris Adams and Gino Hernandez were the Dynamic Duo, okay? A heel tag team that had a big long-running feud with the Von Erichs in the previous year. In this particular match, they had some rum haircuts because they'd lost a hair versus hair match at the Cotton Bowl that summer. And they were supposed to go in against a tag team called the Cosmic Cowboys. For those of you who've been paying attention to Southern Wrestling down the years, you will know the Cosmic Cowboy was a nickname of one Kerry Von Erich. However, they came down to the ring wearing masks, Kevin and Kerry. The trouble is, Kevin took his hat off and his mask came with it.
Oh, dear.
So at that point, what do you do? Well, Kevin took the decision, rather than trying to put the mask back on, he would just be Kevin Von Erich. So Kerry kind of had to follow suit. So instead of the match that they were supposed, what I assume they were supposed to have, which would have been the Cosmic Cowboys running the Dynamic Duo close, because the Von Erichs have been banned from wrestling the Dynamic Duo in tag team matches, they just had a regular tag match, which ended in a DQ, which must have taken some explaining to Fritz when they got backstage.
That's awful, though, because they must have planned it, and they bought masks and got ready, and then at the very beginning it's ruined because of a wardrobe malfunction.
Yes, essentially that's what happened. But here's the thing, right? Okay, this is the 80s. This is proper kayfabe protection, yeah? Well, mm-hmm. Before the match, again, there are 300 girls in the Von Erichs' corner waiting for them.
kayfabe people
here. All right, okay. I'm assuming what had happened is they'd gone, Cosmic Cowboy, Kerry Von Erich. And that's what had happened. But it was just like, there were the girls were waiting for them to sign the signature because they knew that it'd be the Von Erichs there. Go figure. But Gino Hernandez.
Or they were just really big fan of masked men.
Possibly.
That maybe
is a little BDSM for teenage girls in Dallas in the 1980s. I don't think that that had reached Fort Worth at that particular time. This isn't
maybe not.
This isn't Riverdale. Right then, yeah, but the Dynamic Duo were fantastic. Gino Hernandez is an absolutely brilliant heel. If you've not watched any wrestling from Gino Hernandez, you need to, because he was an absolute genius. And Chris Adams, gentleman Chris Adams, British wrestler, came from Stoke-on-Trent, was an outstanding grappler as well. And of course, the Von Erichs are the brilliant Von Erichs. They could do anything they wanted to in the ring, and with a smile on their face, work you as stiff as anything, and it would look absolutely brilliant. So these two teams were absolutely made for each other, and it was a wonderful, thrilling back-and-forth wrestling matchup. And then I realized, of course, Kevin, Chris, and Gino are all no longer with us. I think even the referee is no longer with us either. Interestingly, Mark Lawrence, who does the ring announcing for this particular show, is still with us and is a Methodist preacher in Dallas.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I found out that from the World Class documentary. And he described his experience working World Class Championship Wrestling as the one thing that prepared him for the Methodist ministry more than anything else in his life. Which is, there you go. So if you want to be a priest, become a wrestling commentator first.
Well, you have to be patient.
True.
That's something at least.
Deal with people with personal issues in their lives all the time. Yes. But anyway, yeah, it was an absolutely astounding match. Now, the next match was a mixed tag match. Scott Casey and Sunshine defeated John Tatum and Missy Hyatt. This was actually the main event of this particular show. Okay. Of the TV portion of the show anyway. And it was really interesting. Now, it was a mixed tag match, not an intergender match. So when the guys tagged out, the girls tagged in. Scott Casey, Sunshine, the good girl that she is, the girl next door, came in her tracksuit to wrestle Missy Hyatt. Missy Hyatt was a bad girl at this particular point in her life. She'd just married John Tatum. Possibly could have worn a sports bra, is all I'm saying, because it was not the most flattering of outfits.
Well, I think that's the point, right?
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, if she was wearing an outfit that just didn't fit her. It wasn't like it was like too small sexy in that kind of ECW kind of misogynistic way. It just looked ugly.
I can't really comment because I haven't seen it, but I'm not surprised that the evil heel woman is the one wearing
the ugliest outfit I've ever seen.
The ugly misfit outfit.
Ugly. It's kind of like ugly aerobics instructor outfit. Which, to be blunt, offered no support to the upper sections of her body.
Yeah, and I'm assuming that's the point.
Yeah, but just
bouncing.
It didn't. But it didn't flatter anything either. I'm trying to avoid the word droop, and I can't. Anywho, yes. So that, and it was distracting. Basically, is what I'm saying. But it was actually quite a fun match for the layout, and Scott Casey was really over as a babyface, which helps. But John Tatum was a genius heel. An absolute genius heel. And the fact that he ran such a good gimmick, he had so many facial expressions that are absolutely outstanding. It was just really, really good and well worth watching and well worth the main event slot. And it was nice to see this is how you get people over without having to stick your main stars in the main event all the time. They'd had their fill of Von Erichs, but they were still hot for this main event, which didn't feature the Freebloods or the Von Erichs, who were the big stars in the company. So it was really well done. Anyway.
Yes. missing link showing up?
The missing link did come to save Sunshine at the end of the match, yes, as she was cornered.
What a romance.
Yes, indeed.
Romans of the ages.
Missing Link and Sunshine.
What I ship them. To them.
You ship them.
No, I don't.
No, you don't. Okay.
No, it's kind of gross, actually, but never mind.
This small, petite Texas Southern gal and this Neanderthal.
I don't know. I'm not sure he can even consent.
True. Yes. How would you know?
No one's able to talk to him, apparently. So
yeah, difficult for you to create communication with someone to give their consent for a consensual relationship between two adults.
And is it an equal relationship when one of the people is not even fully human?
It's severe power dynamic issues, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, we'll move on.
Wrestling is fun.
It is. You're after this SJW award bad, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm doing really well, aren't I?
Okay, the rest of this card fills out with apparently Antonio Inoki defeating Steve Williams in a singles match. I'm not convinced that that's true. Bruiser Brody versus the One Man Gang sounds a bit more plausible in a chain match, and it's a shame I didn't get to see that because I'd really have enjoyed it. And finally, Kevin Von Erich, and Lance Von Erich defeat the fabulous Freebirds, Buddy Roberts, Michael PSAs, and Terry Bam Bam Gordy in the main event, which sounds about right, but I'm pretty convinced there was more than enough decent wrestling. I'm not completely convinced this was there. But, I mean, I don't know. I hadn't a chance to check it out on Cage Match. This is the listing that came with the video. But
I'm looking at it on Cage Match, and they do have it listed.
Wow, there you go. So. Yeah, it sounds like one hell of a card. But it shows you how, goes to show how they celebrated Christmas in Dallas. But obviously there is kind of like the point, as we're saying this week, you know, a lot of the WWE wrestlers were off the road for Christmas this year and people were complaining about it. And it's like, why do you get Christmas off, don't you? But it is, you know, it is good for wrestling that times have indeed changed. And looking at this card, you know, the serious drug issues that some of these guys had and the pressure that they were under, I'm glad wrestling's not like that anymore, but it goes to show how things were done in 1985.
Yeah. Was it a Christmassy show?
Not really. There was no, like, Santa kind of coming down and doing stuff for the kids or anything. It was just Christmas Star Wars at the Reunion Arena. And that's how it was billed as. There was no Christmas angles. There was no, like, you know, Christmas tree on a pole match, which is the kind of thing that would happen.
Tree on a pole.
Yeah. This is the kind of thing that would happen in Dallas. You know, they were more chain matches were kind of their thing. Chain and cage, that was their kind of gimmick matches, really. So it was yeah, country whipping matches and stuff, but there was nothing
That's kind of disappointing, though.
Yeah, you would have thought that. But I mean, as well, kind of like the way Dallas kind of put things together was kind of very strong style. I mean, the kind of philosophy behind it was, I think Gary Hart, who was the lead booker for the NWA in Texas and for the Southwest, and he was the booker of Dallas for a long period of time as well. He kind of said, you get good-looking guys who are going to work hard, and you treat the product with a bit of class and some seriousness, and you shoot it really well. And that was the secret to Dallas Wrestling. That was his kind of plan. And, you know, the shots are incredible. One thing you don't realize is that you don't get today is all the cameramen are wearing knee pads so they can get better angles from the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in the ring at some points. If there's a submission hold...
That sounds scary.
Yeah, if there's a submission hold, cameramen will get in the ring to get a better shot. It's just like, it's insane. And they were also the first to get, like, the production team in Dallas. If you've seen those microphones in American football where they have, like, a big kind of, like, perspex circle and they have it for, like, by the... where the players are to pick up all the noise that goes on with the play. They were the first to use that in wrestling, so you heard every strike land and every punch land and every whip and body slam and all the audience reactions as well. They were the first to do that. You know, they did some revolutionary stuff with TV production, which means that even on a grainy old video that's been reproduced 4 or 5 times for YouTube, it was still well worth watching.
Yeah, it looks... Well, it didn't look good, I won't say, because of the quality, but the venue looked great.
Yeah.
The crowd looked really invested. You could follow what was going on really well, so the camera quality wasn't great, but the work they did was great. You could really see what the intent was behind their choices.
Yeah.
If that makes sense at all. Mm-hmm. I've only seen one match, so I'm not going to say that the entire card was that way. But I didn't so much enjoy it as I could tell why people enjoy it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's the reason why. I mean, that's kind of what we're after. It's like, why does this stuff get over? You know, that's the conversation we're having. And the reason why is because you had no one on this card was bad at wrestling. They mm-hmm. were all world class or very, very good. So therefore, it's hard to do badly, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think if I'd known these people or seen them before or had any reason to be invested in what was going on and wasn't horribly sick, I probably would have enjoyed this show.
There you go. We'll have to pick another one for summer or something like that. Random date, World Class Championship Wrestling.
Random date, yeah. And maybe not one from this long ago.
No, well...
Because I wasn't even born...
I was 10, so, or 11. So the reason why I picked it was just because it was the hottest period of time for World Class Championship Wrestling, so I knew the wrestling mm-hmm. would be good, even if the video quality wasn't great. But and I knew that World Class did Christmas Day shows. It was one of the things that they did. You know, don't work in Dallas, so you'll end up working Christmas Day was kind of the deal. So
during the Star Wars show.
Yes.
I wonder if anyone looked at this and thought, oh, Star Wars, cool. And then was really surprised when it's wrestling.
I think possibly. I mean, it was kind of like their house shows were called Star Wars because they would have mm-hmm. all their stars on it and they'd go to war. So, yeah, so it was like this was Christmas Star Wars and you'd have New Year's Star Wars and Easter Star Wars and Labor Day Star Wars and things like that. So, but yeah, it was just a nice, clever tagline rather than house show. But yeah, so that's the reason why they did it. But yeah, it wasn't very Christmassy. However...
Oh, that's a shame. You kind of need, like, Taguchi in a Santa costume during a Santa Christmas episode.
You want more Christmas in your Christmas episodes is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I wouldn't have been able to tell that this was the Christmas episode.
No, definitely not. It just looked like a house show. And also because it's Dallas, the weather never really gets that cold till a couple of months later, so they're all just sat around wearing jeans and T-shirts. You can't even tell it's Christmas.
Yeah, and no one in the crowd was wearing
Christmassy
Christmas
stuff.
Clothes. It was boring.
Come on. It was 1985, though, so Christmas jumpers hadn't really got in yet.
But make an effort.
Oh dear. Right then, shall we go on to your show?
Let's.
All right then, so in 2009, there was always been a tradition of wrestling shows in Tokyo on New Year's Eve, or mixed martial arts shows. So there was always somebody runs a show at Currican Hall every New Year's Eve. Now, let's be honest, there's about 14 shows a day at Currican Hall at the moment from various different companies. But always there will always be a wrestling show on New Year's Eve. That's kind of the tradition for Currican Hall. I'll find out who's working this New Year's Eve in a second and let you know. But on this particular occasion, BJW, DDT, and Kaientai Dojo, who are in K-Dojo, all have a working agreement at that particular time. I think they're still in play today. I don't think DDT are part of it anymore, but certainly BJW and Kaientai Dojo are. To work together to produce the show, and they decided to produce a Battle Royal, a 108-character Battle Royal, but because of the cross-promotion between these companies, some wrestlers are different characters in different companies. So they used all of the characters they could to get the 108 people in. So with all that knowledge in mind, Christy, what did you think about this card?
I sent you a DM after I finished it saying my brain is mush.
Yes, you did.
That's what happened. The end. Let's go. no, it was an experience, I have to say.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it, but it was also mind-blowing.
Yes.
Not necessarily in a good way.
No. there's some stuff going on with this, isn't there? I mean,
yeah, and also you have to consider that I only know maybe a handful of these people. I mostly know the DDT guys that are in this. So you have to imagine that every 10 seconds someone enters. And for most of it, I'm like, who is that? Where are they going? And then the camera work isn't up to par because suddenly you'll turn around and then the ring is empty because several people have been eliminated. and I just got so confused. Like, I'd recognize someone, but then they'd be gone because I missed the elimination. And then people in masks showed up, and people that I recognized in masks showed up, but also people I don't recognize. So I'm like, who are you?
How many Tiger Mask Classics were there? Four?
There was a Tiger Mask. There was
not the Tiger Mask, by the way, or any of the other variations Tiger Mask.
I could recognize that he wasn't the one that I watch a lot.
That's Tiger Mask and, 4.
Yeah. Then there was a Shining Tiger.
Yes.
There was a Shining Tiger Big Buddy.
Yes.
And, yeah. I just don't know.
I mean, there was also things like Abdullah Kobayashi, who's a BJW deathmatch wrestler, former BJW champion. I think in Kaientai Dojo, he wrestles as a pig god.
Yep.
Which brilliantly, he got eliminated as the pig god character.
And then wipes off his.
And then he got called back to the ring as himself. So in the aisle of Currican Hall, was like, get me a glass of water. Poured water himself, took his makeup off, and then went back in.
Yeah. I mean, I have so many notes here, and some of them don't make sense because it's just all over the place. Like, it starts out reasonably okay. Like, my first note is, hey, I know who this guy is. Because it starts out with Kengo from K-Dojo.
Yes.
Whom I know. And then I lost the plot because I didn't know the second guy. I didn't know the third guy. I didn't know the fourth guy. and it was quite clear that the idea was throw in a serious wrestler, like a Kengo, and then throw in all the weirdos.
Yes. Because you had the Brahim brothers in there as well.
Yeah, lots of masks. Yeah. Two women.
Yes.
One of them had a whip.
Yes. I'm not sure who she was, to be honest with you.
Her name was Bambi.
Isn't she a manager in BJW or a manager in DDT?
I don't know. Yes. You're asking me.
I believe she was, yes. I'm saying, for want of a better term, I might be wrong.
Maybe. And the ref changed constantly.
Yes, because it was Nick Ann Lee to start with from BJW. However, she was wrestling in the Battle Royal later on. Mm-hmm.
I have that note as well. Like,
yes.
Oh, isn't this the ref?
Yes, she is part of a three-person entity that were allowed to enter one at a time. So the other two stood by ringside and they wrestled spare slots.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And then I've got... this is Honda from DDT.
Yeah.
And Honda had like four characters.
Yes. Yes, he did. He had his Kai and Tai Dojo character, his BJW character, and his DDT character as well.
And then he was Honda HBK.
Yes, he was too.
Honda BK. Which I'll get to that bit, but Sekimoto showed up. I know him.
Yes.
He was in it. He had a lot of fun because he was smiling constantly. He was like the guy who couldn't keep a straight face. Someone was eating snacks in the ring.
Yeah, under the
mask. In the middle of the match.
Brilliantly, yeah. Just kind of sauntered down in that Orange Cassidy style and just kept eating and then offered snacks to anyone who attacked him.
Yeah.
And then I've
written down saying I wish I knew more about this because some of the jokes are completely lost on me.
Yeah, I think you had to be watching it at the time. A lot of it doesn't transfer in context.
No, and it's a shame because I can hear the audience laugh and I can see some of the wrestlers laugh. So I know it's supposed to be funny and I feel really sad that I'm missing out on clearly a really funny joke.
Yes.
But still, people laughing makes me happy, so whatever. Aww.
Bambi was a Taikai Dojo wrestler. She was trained by Takemichi Noku. And his
finisher
was
makes
a
moonsault.
Carry on.
He made sure that he wasn't in the ring while she was whipping people then.
Yes, as he was booking it, I have a feeling.
Yeah, I'm not going in while she is still in the ring. Who else showed up? Oh, Kudo from DDT.
Yeah.
Who was really skinny.
Yeah. Isami from DDT as well. Oh, sorry, from BJW.
Yeah. I'm looking. Kota Ibushi.
Yes. His Kenneth Omega.
Who was really popular.
He was, and didn't do an awful lot. He wasn't there very long, was he, really? It's like
neither was Kota. I was like, wait, where did Kota go?
But the bit that actually amazes me is like it goes along, and everyone's laughing, and it's fun, and you get big pops for people who are popular and things like that. And then about 45 minutes in, the ring clears, and everyone turns around, and you suddenly realize it's Tajiri versus Takemichi Noko, and no one's ever seen it before, and everyone goes...
And then they team up.
Yes.
against HBK.
Yes.
I'm like, are you trying to say something? Is this a message, or...
Possibly the two former WWF guys making a message
kicking.
Back. Possibly. I don't think Kai and Tai's push was shortened up by Shawn Michaels. I think it was the only person who didn't dump on him. He didn't dump on him in that time period. But yes, it was really interesting how that played out as well. And then you got Young Kasai.
Yeah, he was there as well. Gota Ihashi was there, the Kota Ibushi's best friend.
Yes, true. Michael Taz, I can never remember his name. Kota's other best friend, Michael Tanzi.
Nakazawa?
That's the one, yes. He's one of the leaders of DDT, isn't he? And he used to corner Kota in New Japan wrestling matches. So.
Yeah, but he jumped out, didn't he?
Yes, he eliminated himself.
He walked in, he was like, hi, how are you? Happy New Year! And then he left.
Yes. And then about 50 minutes in, everything stopped while the entire roster runs down to ringside, gets in the ring, and New Year is called.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cute.
I did too. It was really
makes
fun.
No sense kayfabe-wise,
no.
But it's really cute.
Everyone wanted to say hello and Happy New Year. And then they cleared the ring and go back to the wrestling match.
Yeah, it took like 25 seconds and then... Oh, back to the wrestling. Back to the match.
A roster of like 90 people all stood in and around ringside. And then they got back
and the funny bit was also that most of them hadn't been out yet. So I was looking like... Oh, who was here? Who was here? I wasn't even paying attention to the Happy New Year bit, but just checking to see who was there.
Yeah. I'll tell you what was interesting, especially in the early going, was like the DDT guys going and go at the BJW guys, because obviously they don't wrestle each other very often.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting to see like the DDT guys, like especially the slighter, slimmer ones, trying to man up and hardcore their way through things.
Yeah. Well, talking about that, Soma Takao...
Mm-hmm.
had help eliminating Kengo, which I thought was a big move for him.
Yeah, cool.
Because he was apparently a rookie at the time.
Yeah, there was.
He was really, really skinny.
There was a couple of people, younger people, that were kind of like showing their oats in this, wasn't it? They were using it seriously to get people over. It wasn't just, it was mindless fun, but it was good mindless fun.
Yeah, and Kengo was in the match for about an hour and a half. Which, on the one hand, is really, really special and noteworthy. And like, how can you manage to be in a match for an hour and 20 minutes? On the other hand, this wasn't the most intense match I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was definitely not intense. They were having fun, especially towards the end, because Young Kasai usually hits quite hard, and he just really wasn't hitting very hard at all, was he?
No, there weren't any chairs or baseball bats or barbed wire.
No, all the BJW guys got an easy night of things.
Yeah, I was actually kind of surprised that there weren't many props in the match.
Yeah, there was a couple here and there, but it was fairly straight wrestling, wasn't it, really?
They stuck to because the rules I'm used to watching DDT Rumbles and them bringing out the most ridiculous things. Like Godzilla masks and bikes and the normal tables, but all sorts of crazy things, and they didn't bring out anything.
I also found it was really interesting that Yoshihiko came out. and was
the best wrestler in the match.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And she was kind of seconded by Abdullah Kobashi Abdullah.
He was taking care of her.
He was taking care of her. He was making sure she got her shots in.
Didn't get thrown out.
No, it was really interesting because, like, why is a BJW guy looking after a DDT blow up doll?
Maybe he likes her.
Maybe so. Maybe he was after her phone number.
Maybe it's a romance.
Indeed. Brilliantly brought to the ring to Real American. Yes.
This is the kind of thing we want to know.
Yes. This is the kind of thing that would make Jim Cornette's blood boil.
Yes, it would.
Yes.
Oh, God. Including, like, one of them had this horrible goo that he was spitting in other people's faces. I could have done without that bit.
Yeah.
One of the brothers with the weird hair.
Brothers. Hang on. Where does it go? Brahim Shue and Brahim Keith.
Yeah, one of the two. He had this liquid in his mouth, this goo.
Yeah.
And he pushed someone into the corner and he basically drooled it on their face.
Which wasn't nice. It wasn't.
Talking about wasn't nice, Dino was here.
Yeah, he's just generally unpleasant.
He's always around. He always ruins everything.
He's like Vince Russo.
Sorry?
He's like Vince Russo.
He is, but it,
at least you
I'm
know
always having a good
Dino.
Time, and then he shows up, and I'm like, I know what's going to happen now.
Yeah.
He never shows up and just wrestles. It's always the same. And I mean, he showed up, and then Sasaki, Charisma from Damnation, showed up. I was like, I would have liked to have seen him wrestle.
Yeah.
And interact with all these people, but he just spent the entire rest of the match with Dino fondling him and touching him and trying to kiss him and putting his hand down his pants. And I'm like, it just ruins it.
Yeah, it's just like, it's just grim, really. I mean, overall, though, what did you think of the show? Was it fun?
It was really, really fun. Especially because I recognized some guys. I think that really helped.
Yeah.
Because it makes you invested. I think if I'd known more people, I would have been even more excited by this. Just because it's fun. It's not serious. You can just laugh. There's something for everyone. And you're not going to be down after this. You're not going to be sad that your favorite didn't win. Because that's not the point. The point is to have fun. And I really enjoyed it, even though it was really silly. No one looked... no one stood out as being a good wrestler. But that didn't matter, because that wasn't the point.
No, it was just fun.
It was fun. It was ridiculous. And everyone got their time. Everyone got some spots in. The crowd clearly had a wonderful time. And the wrestlers clearly had a great time, and that's also something that I enjoy.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, it's just fun at the end of the day. Sometimes you just need mindless fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just good, basically.
And that's also what I like about some of the New Japan matches I watched, some of the Tokyo Joshi Pro matches I watched. That it's clear that I'm not the only one having a good time.
Yeah, yeah. Because why would you not want to?
Yeah, but also that the wrestlers are enjoying themselves.
Yeah.
And I can enjoy a good Ishii versus Goto match. I can enjoy Suzuki killing someone. But I can also enjoy just wrestlers having a good time.
Yeah, this is the way it should be, really.
Yeah.
Okay, then. I did promise you to tell you what is the New Year's Eve show this year at Currican Hall. And it's actually BJW and DDT. And
okay.
It's a BJW and DDT tag team tournament. So you've got teams like Yasufumi Nakagami from BJW tagging with Kazuki Higuchi from DDT. Plumbing Trees from BJW tagging with Mike Bailey. Teams like that. So you get one person from DDT, one person from BJW. They tag team together against another team.
And that's really inventive, actually.
Yes. 10-minute round. First round matches are 10 minutes each. Second round matches are 15 minutes each. Final is going to be no time limit. Tickets still available. Advance 6,000 yen for special ringside. Ringside 5,000. Reserves 4,000. Standing is 3,000. Tickets still available.
I wish I could go.
Yeah, I'm sure there are some people. I'm just saying that because there are some people who will be heading out to Tokyo.
Oh, yeah. I've got a lot of mutuals on Twitter who are going.
Yes, definitely. So if you are going to Tokyo for that there Wrestle Kingdom, we hope you have a very, very good time. Bring us back some sushi. Don't, because it'll have gone off by then.
Merch. A Goto hoodie
for Christy. Damn it. And to celebrate her win in Best SJW Account in the Twitter Awards. That's what she needs.
Well, some people are trying to get me a Goto hoodie. It won't be the one that I was promised by RefBro, but it will be
the
one.
A Goto hoodie. Yeah, there's some awesome people who have gone out to Japan. The usual crowd that go out to Japan and will be live tweeting from everything. So it'll be cool and interesting to see.
It'll be amazing.
Yes.
I both love and hate that time of year when people go. Because on the one hand, I'm really envious. I'm like, I want to go too. Which is also why I'm like seeing all these shows that Japanese companies are going to do in America.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh my god, now even more people are going to be able to go and I can't. Ah, damn it.
You could come for the Stardom show in June, though.
Yeah, I'm just going to fly over with all the money I don't have.
I meant to the UK, not to North America.
Still flying.
Yeah, true. I suppose. I mean, you could boat it.
I could swim.
You could swim.
Swim. Maybe. It cost me about €1,000 last time.
Yeesh.
I went.
Mm.
Yeah. Because it's tickets, it's plane, it's hotel, it's transport in London or wherever it is. It's food, it's merch. It's quite a bit more than you imagine when you live there.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I think I probably live actually about as far away from London as you do. Maybe a little less.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to cost me. I don't have to fly anywhere. It cost me like £50, which I guess is like €80, isn't it? At the most.
Yeah.
And also, you don't know in June what the hell it's going to cost because, well, to be fair, it might be way cheaper because the pound might have collapsed. So
maybe.
By that point.
Yeah.
So coming here might not be so much of a problem.
You know your way around.
I know my way around Bethnal Green. That's
yeah, but it's still your country.
Yes.
Whereas
true.
Whenever I'm nervous about something, I'm not going to worry about money. I'm just going to spend it and be happy that it happened. You know, like I don't know what the cheapest prices are. I don't know where to go. I don't know anything.
I tell you what, if you can make it, I will make you sandwiches and pack up for the whole trip, and I will bring it with me. to Wrestle Queendom 2. By the way, we're talking about Wrestle Queendom 2. Pro Wrestling Eve and World Wandering Stardom are teaming up together to give us Wrestle Queendom 2 this year, which should be absolutely astounding, by the way. And because, you know, Stardom did have a deal with BWE. I'm guessing that they've, you know, they've realized that Pro Wrestling Eve are a slightly bigger company. So, yeah, that should be absolutely amazing. That's what we're discussing. We're kind of like friends having a jokey conversation on air about something, as we normally are.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So I have been thinking about it because supposedly in April, they're going to try and start a train between Amsterdam and London.
Is this to encourage us to stay in the European Union?
I think they were planning it a long time ago. Oh, okay. But maybe they won't now because you don't deserve it anymore.
No, we're poor. Just poor.
That's also a thing. I might have to get a passport.
Yes. Well, you'd have to get a passport, yeah. So, but yeah, well, I mean, if there is a train, yeah, is it like the Eurotunnel train?
I imagine so.
They've been trying to get more stations rolled out down the years with that for as many years as they can. So, yes. But
because usually if you wanted to go by train, that was possible, but you had to go to France first.
Yeah, yeah.
So Belgium, France, then across the water to London, which was a long trip and an expensive one. And now they're supposedly going directly from Amsterdam to London.
But yeah, I will make you sandwiches then if you come.
Okay, I'll consider it. But it all depends because I also want, when I'm going, I probably want to combine it with a Rev Pro show so I can see my New Japan guys.
Well, I mean, last year they did it on Super Strong Style weekend. There was Progress that weekend. So I think that's one of the reasons why they moved it to June, because it was, well, to be fair, most of the Progress roster ended up going to Wrestle Queendom. Because it was like, it's Charlie Morgan, and Charlie Morgan's doing this massive bump off the balcony, and like all the Progress guys kind of have that. You've seen wrestlers kind of twitch when they think they should be doing something on reflex.
Yeah.
So they are like, they all
like,
kind
like,
of.
I want to catch her.
Yes, I want to catch her, and there's like, so there's like, she's doing the dive of the balcony. So the security there for the show, there's all the rookies from the Pro Wrestling Eve dojo, a bunch of other wrestlers who were kind of wearing hoodies and stuff. And then the Progress guys are all taking like slow steps forward because they want to go and catch her.
It's so cute.
It's like, it was brilliant. And it was like Kaylee Ray versus Mako Satomura. And they just did not move. It was like, I'm watching the Progress guys watching Kaylee Ray and Mako Satomura. And it's insane. Because they're like, they're just there. We are learning. We have come to the church.
Eve shows are great.
They are. They're absolutely amazing.
I was lucky enough to be able to go to the their version of the G1.
The She One.
Which was perfect because for some reason they had Ref Pro shows before.
Yeah.
Like there was a Ref Pro show on Thursday and Friday. And then I could go to Eve on Saturday and Sunday. And that was just perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
4 days of wrestling.
I don't know. I'm sure there'll be one that lines up somewhere for you. Because that seems to be the way. If we wish it, it will happen.
Let's hope so.
That's the way you see wrestling works in this country at the moment.
And if not, I may have to stay a week.
But yes. By the way, we're kind of not doing like a traditional show this week. We're just kind of catching up on stuff and talking about things. Other things that we looked at this year that you might want to catch up on. I posted it in our chat this morning. The match that was set up at that Sendai Girls show that me, Christy, and Chelsea reviewed last month, that is now on YouTube if you want to go find it. It was a main event of Dash Chikasou and Chihiro Hashimoto versus Kigetsu. And I can't remember the other Odeo Tai member. Azuki, I think. But they're in a tag match at Kurikan Hall.
That would make sense.
They're a tag match at Kurikan Hall, which is a barnstormer. In fact, like match of the year quality. It's a bit stiff. Kigetsu and Dash have some issues they need to talk about.
Yes. Sit them down and then everything is fixed, I'm sure.
They hit each other very hard.
That's how it works in wrestling, right?
Yes, yes. Of course it is. It's cathartic. But yeah, it was a really, really good match, and it was interesting to see how they laid that out, which I have a feeling may play into Wrestle Queendom 2 somewhere down the line, because who's a regular roster member for Pro Wrestling Eve. Well, that would be Mako Satomura. I'm trying to think. Any other news you'd like to talk about, Christy, that have caught up this week?
News? Not really.
No?
I didn't want to wish people a Happy New Year.
Yes, indeed. That's one of the reasons why we're doing this show. Happy Christmas. We hope you had a nice Christmas. We didn't talk about that. We hope it was fun. And Happy New Year. And enjoy
Happy
2019.
Do you have any resolutions for 2019?
Watch more Joshi, because I kind of got a bit slacked off on Joshi this year, and I need to watch more of it and write more about it as well, and find an outlet to write about it. I'm in negotiations to do that.
So good luck.
Thank you very much. I'm just trying to figure out how I'm going to fit it all in, but I need to watch more Joshi. Kind of been like, I've been really into New Japan and not watched an awful lot else of other stuff because of time constraints and things, and it's like, I missed Joshi so much because it's like, and I don't know why I stopped, because it was just because of time. There was only so much time, and it was getting more and more difficult to find things. But now you've got Professor Dream and things like that, it's a bit easier to find stuff. So I'm going to get back to watching more wrestling this year. I'm going to make stern efforts to do that. What about New Year's resolutions for you?
Actually, the same thing. I watch Stardom and I watch Tokyo Joshi Pro, but I usually binge watch it like once a month.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try and do it more regularly. Because when you binge watch, you don't really talk about it that much because everyone's already seen it like a month ago. And I want to talk about it more on Twitter and stuff like that.
I tell you what then, how about this? A New Year's resolution for the show. Once a month, we find a Joshi show to talk about that's a modern Joshi show rather than a historic one. And me and you and whoever else wants to can review it. And we'll do it that way, like we do the New Japan shows. And we'll make the rule that it's got to be a YouTubeable or Paresso Dream show just so that everyone can watch it, because then we'll introduce more people to it.
Okay, we could also do like a quick update on what the other companies are doing.
Yes, that sounds like a plan as well. And if you want anything else that you would like the Tripini show to do, please let us know.
Because that's something that I wanted to suggest, like just... I watch Tokyo Joshi Pro a lot, so maybe I could just give like a 2-minute update on what's going on.
Yes, there you go. News roundups, as it were.
Yeah.
There you go. That's that thing that we can do that. That sounds like a good idea. Also, it could go into our podcast. We're kind of having a production meeting whilst we're doing a show.
Yes. Well, people can now give their opinions on what they think.
Yes.
And
is there anything else you would like us to do? You know, I kind of like to do some more. I like the show we've done today where we've taken one historic card and look at that just every once in a while. I don't want to do it the same way as we do the beginner's guide, just because that's kind of intense and we go in depth and we kind of got to filter into everything else. But every once in a while, a random show from somewhere might be fun to do, which we have done in the past. So we should do that. We will be back to the beginner's guide probably the week after Wrestle Kingdom, because there ain't going much going on after Wrestle Kingdom because everyone goes, whoa. So yeah, we'll probably be back on the beginner's guide after then. And we're kind of getting into 1996. So we'll probably have some shows from then. I think we have to do the final part of our UWFI trilogy, which will be a Tokyo Dome show. There was about four in 1996 we can pick from, so there's plenty to choose there. And we will do as we normally do. We will go and find the cards that were really impactful and have a look through them and see what would be useful for you guys to learn about. We can't do every card in Japanese wrestling ever as much as we would like to, because there's just too many of them. So we tend to pick out the historically important ones and the ones that are available that you can find and not cost you any money, or, you know, cost you minimal amount, like a New Japan subscription amount. So, but it actually gets harder in this time period because there's a drop off in the interest of wrestling after 1997. But we've got some big stories still to talk about. We haven't talked about the Noah story yet. We'll probably get to that this year, I would think. So there's plenty of things going on with that this year. Anything you're looking forward to in 2019?
Oh, gosh. Hiromu coming back?
Yes, yes.
Hopefully. I'm curious to see what Okada's going to be up to. I'm focused mainly on Wrestle Kingdom and all the craziness, because I know it's going to be special in some way or another.
Yes, definitely. It will be awesome. So,
and if Twitter is still alive afterwards, then I'd love to see people there.
Of course, where you can show your best SJW account award.
Yeah. Mm. I'm still laughing at that. I know who nominated me. and I'm very thankful. On the other hand, I'm like, oh my God, really?
Well, it's just fun.
People already think I'm awful for my feminist things. So if I win, this is only going to make it worse.
Hey,
but whatever.
People, some people don't like this podcast because we're far too feminist. So what can you do?
Don't they?
No. Go read our iTunes reviews.
But I can't read them, can I?
No, you're an Android person, aren't you? So if you're an Android, you have to actually have iTunes downloaded to be able to read them all properly. So if you can, there'd be a Christmas wish for us if you could give us more 5-star reviews and knock that number 2 review we have that's still visible.
Well, you've got 2 women on your podcast. How dare you?
Good God.
Three
on this network. And shame. We have black people and white people, and now we will have Muslims too.
And LGBT people.
No, they're not white, straight, and male, and Christian. Good Lord, mother.
Good Lord, man.
Yes, Humza Hussein has joined the team at the WrestleTalk. At the Wrestling Rewind. Like we said the other week, Mike needed some more depth in his bench. And so they will now have a team of Dara, Marcus, and Kat. Noticeably, 2 black people, 2 white people. Anyway, yes. Because we are the most social justice of all warriors on this podcast.
And that's why we're doing more Joshy next year.
Yes, more Joshy. But yes, so that's that, really. And we're just kind of having a chat today. Talk a bit of wrestling, historic wrestling, some crazy stuff from
crazy
Japan.
Wrestling.
Crazy wrestling.
108 people wrestling.
Old people wrestling who were very, very good and tall and big and muscular.
And good looking.
And good looking. Also, sadly, many of them no longer with us. But you go. Don't mean to end on a downer. It's good fun. You should go watch that card. You can find it on YouTube. Look, I think we're kind of running out of steam on 2018, really.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of an appropriate chat to have to just kind of like round and tie up all the knots before we move forward to Wrestle
Kingdom.
Yeah,
and thank you very much for inviting me on.
Absolutely.
To the podcast and to the entire network.
Absolutely. One of the highlights of my wrestling journalism career is working with you. And I'm not kidding.
Aww.
I really enjoyed this.
Really nice of you.
I was just looking, like, just then. Finlay Martin, former editor of PowerSlam, is obviously still on my Skype list because we used to do a show together on the old WrestleTalk network. And I was thinking, like, Finlay was the guy that got me into wrestling journalism as a kid. That's what I wanted to do. And now I get the opportunity to do it for other people and be an editor and a producer and own a wrestling organized broadcasting media kind of thing. It's not a particularly big one, but it's ours and we love it and we cherish it and we kind of nurture it and try and make it grow. And it's like, isn't it cool that, like, you know, Finlay pops online with one of our newest contributors at the time, the guy that got me into this business, and then I can get you into this and give you a bigger voice and more room to say the things you want to say.
Yeah, and I never thought I would, because of lots of reasons, but anxiety, for example, but also that I'm Dutch. Like, who's going to ask a Dutch girl to speak in English about wrestling?
Me, clearly.
You! And I was kind of like, am I going to try it or not? But then I trusted you, and I trusted Chelsea, who was regularly on your show. So I was like, okay, I'm going to try it. And then I really enjoyed it. It was really, really scary, but it's also really, really fun. So thank you very much.
That's okay, and thank you for all the time you put into us, because it is fun and we do enjoy it, but this week there is time you have to put in to make a show work, and you know, we have to do preparation, we have to chat, we have to watch wrestling, we have to condense thoughts, and you've got to kind of like come up with clear, coherent thoughts about what you're doing. It's hard work and I appreciate it greatly. And I appreciate certainly all the work you did on the G1 with us, because it gave us so much new and different insights. Because you, as we've discovered, you don't watch wrestling like the rest of us watch wrestling, because we watch it from a wrestling professional journalism analytical kind of way, and you're still a fan, so you keep us grounded and centered.
Yes, I'm a normal.
You're a normal person where we're freaks.
I'm a casual.
Yes.
A filthy casual.
Filthy casual wrestling fan. But yeah.
Who cares if he can't wrestle? As long as the character's fun.
There you go. And that's the way it should be, damn it. Yes. But We appreciate your time very much. And I'd like to thank all of our contributors in 2018. Chelsea Spollen, Alex Watt, Alex Edwards, Simon Heath, and Mr. Marcus Green of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I like saying that because Baton Rouge is such a cool place to live. But there you go. Anyway, all of those guys have been absolutely fantastic. We had some special help and some special guests. We had Gavin Duenas. He was on one of the shows. Mo Chatra of the Daily Mirror was on our G1 coverage. And he's really cool to talk to. And we're going to get Mo back for some things. I think I might do him. And it was also interesting because, like, you and Mo did shows together, never having spoken together before.
Not even on Twitter.
And it's like, here's Mo. Here's one of my wrestling journalism heroes. And here's my friend Christy. And we put them all together.
I was so scared that one.
Yes. But, you know, it was cool. And it worked really, really well. So yeah, so we'll be back in 2018 with more New Japan Pro Wrestling coverage, with more coverage of Joshi, because we just agreed to do that, damn it. More coverage of women's wrestling, because that's kind of the thing we do. More coverage of the history of professional wrestling, and just more stuff generally. The shows might be longer. Well, if you know, you may have noticed if you watched listened to us the last few years, it starts off with Wrestle Kingdom, which will be a 2.5-hour, 5-man booth show. And then slowly those shows get shorter as we kind of peter out of energy. And then it starts again in January when we explode. So this week might be a little bit shorter than normal. When we've done an hour and 15 minutes, so we should be all right. But next week, we'll be back with Wrestle Kingdom, Wrestling Christmas, a week and a half late.
Yay! Wrestle Kingdom!
Yay! Exciting! Right. Thank you very much for your time today, for listening to us. Thank you to Christy of Wrestling Sexism and New Japan Gifts. You can find her at SmarkInfested on Twitter.
It was really, really fun, and I'm looking forward to what we do in 2019.
Excellent. You can find me at Sheriff Lowstar on Twitter. You can find all those people on Twitter as well. Just look through our Twitter feed. You'll find them eventually. Also, you can find us on Facebook, The Troopany Show, and you can find us on Patreon, The Troopany Show, where you can keep us free forever for everyone. You can find Mike Freeland's Wrestling Rewind later this week on this very channel, this very network. We hope you enjoyed their show. I'm guessing they're probably going to do a bit of a Christmas roundup and a wrap-up and a preparation for Royal Rumble. I'm assuming. I don't know what they're talking about because those guys kind of look after themselves now. They don't even tell us. We just get a show on Wednesday and we post it and it goes, that's awesome. But you can listen to their show from last week, which was really, really cool. Take care. Speak to you soon. And have a good week. Happy New Year. Bye.
Bye.